Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a Cadsource family production. In this episode, we discuss sales, sales, and more sales. This is a mashup episode featuring Shane Snively, Cynthia Kay, and Mitch Long. Shane, Cynthia, and Mitch have all been featured on previous episodes. If you haven't heard them yet, Google Cadsource Podcast and the first name of the guest to find their episode. Let's get right into this sales episode. This section is from the strategy addict, Shane Snively. Don't fake it. Having a passion in sales is critical, and you will not make it if you are not selling with a passion. Let's listen to Shane talk about selling with that passion.
I would just say is people are very... let's fake it and pretend and and all that. I'm definitely not a fan of any of that. I've always felt like being genuine and passionate about what you're selling really matters. So, when I really first got in the business, I delivered a death claim very early in my career. And I had written a guy a disability policy. And I thought for sure he would just, if something happened, he would break his legs or something. He was a roofer, but he actually flipped off the roof and died. And he had two little kids. One was like 5 or 6 years old. The other kid was like 8 years old. And I brought a death claim to his wife. And it was the first time in my life I had to really check myself to say, did I do a great job? Did I do an average job or a great job? Well, this woman... she basically could take that money and she paid off their debt and she helped their kids go to college. I mean, she since remarried and has a whole different life than what she started with. But I mean, that made me very, very excited about what I was doing, even though it was in a very kind of depressing, morbid type of time. But, when you're in our business and you do sell insurance or you sell investments or retirement or whatever, ultimately, when the rubber hits the road, there's going to be a moment in time where what you've done is going to really impact the whole bottom line. Well, if you're selling and you're not really getting that impact, your passion isn't there. So you surely shouldn't be doing it, or you should be finding some other thing that actually you're passionate about to sell. I can sell disability because my dad couldn't get disability. So I remember when he had his like third open heart surgery, we couldn't make it. And we had to go into programs that where, it was like a work rehab. Well, if it wasn't for those things, say he had a good disability policy, there's more options he could have done. But when you don't have those options and you see those things firsthand, it really impacts you on how you get passionate about what you do. Well, I find that there's a gap and disconnect in the sales industry today where people are selling things that they're really not even passionate about, or they don't really feel or find a purpose in what they're doing. So there's such that, it's like a catechism that they got to go. And so, yeah, Glenn Ross, you tie that in, the whole A always B, B, C closing, and, what's it take? All those things are it's overly stated. But, I mean, telling people the truth, I got to tell people, hey, you spend way too much money. You spend so much money, there's no way you're going to be able to take care of your wife and kids in retirement. Or, hey, mister, your wife needs life insurance to protect you because you're the only income earner. And if something happens to you, whatever, you have to have boldness. And you just can't care what somebody else is going to say, because if you don't, you're really not doing your job. And when I married Sue, she's a doctor. She's like, I love my patients, but I don't not tell them they have cancer on their neck because I want them to like me. I actually tell them they have cancer on their neck because I like them, because I'm going to take care of them. So, the fear of being disliked, I think in a weird way, gets in the way of just life in general. And, plug out to Sandler. I am going to a selling coach. This guy's name is Jim Dunn. And, Sandler's a really great school. But they tell you point blank, day one you walk in, seek to understand before being understood. Well, that's a diagnostic check. That's like checking it out, saying, look, am I a really good fit in here? Do I really understand the problems that are here? And can I solve them? Well, if I can't, don't waste time. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. You know? And so that would be the one thing I would encourage people is they're in sales and they're struggling, you know, go to a good selling school. Build a process that's around something. But then the other part of it is hold yourself accountable. Keep a cookbook. Keep your stats. You know, the whole how do you know how well you're doing without keeping your scorecard? Well, in golf, you know, if you don't track how many putts you have per hole or how you're hitting the ball on the driving range, I mean, you know, you look at the different level of statistics that you can follow on yourself now. Well, if you don't want that accountability, don't go into sales because it is a tough racket. Because if you just think it's going to come to you, it's not going to happen. So, you know, Glengarry, Glen Ross aside, you just have to have convictions, I think, to be in sales or, you know, get on a team. You know, work as a team. And so in selling, David Yoder, my business partner, Jared Odette, my other partner here in Abiding Wealth, or in you and Cassors, we all have our strengths. We all have our weaknesses. Don't sit there and struggle doing something you're horrible at doing. Get your teammate to do it. You know, so like you said, I've let a lot of people go. Well, I mean, it doesn't, I'm not going to not feel good about myself if I have to tell somebody that they're not a good fit to work here anymore. But for somebody who's never had to do that before, that's a big deal. So, I mean, for me, I don't want to be the hatchet man all the time, but at the same time, I'm like, well, I'm all about accountability myself, so it's not hard for me to hold somebody else accountable. And I also look at it as a learning curve, you know, so I would say on the sales side of it, you know, in general, technology's helping, but ultimately technology without conviction isn't going to close anything. So you actually have to still be out there. So, you know, not unless it's a pure internet sale and somebody's buying some product that you've sold off the internet. And if you have a retail business and you're not using the internet, well, I mean, you've been disrupted.
This next segment is all about the activity monster, Mitch Long. As a salesperson, you'll develop a strategy that works for you. Mitch discusses the benefits of a salesperson continuously showing up. Well, Mitch, whenever we chat, we always talk about just business in general, and we talk about activity. We've worked with a lot of salespeople, not only as clients, but internally at our company. And one thing that we've noticed is the successful salespeople see people, they talk to people, they call people, they reach out to people, even if it's email. But most importantly, they're seeing people face to face. They're showing up maybe when there's not even an appointment. And I like to call you the activity monster, not because you're scary, but because when you do show up, you actually do show up and you're consistent and you tell people that you're going to be there. And you built your business around, and you are a smart person, so don't take this the wrong way, but not trying to be the smartest person in the room, but being the person that is always in the room. Talk to us a little bit about being what I like to call the activity monster.
Well, first of all, I've always been a face-to-face guy, and I have known some guys that are successful calling people on the phone and having that, you know, conversation on the phone about sales. And they have their own special set of skills, but I've always been a face-to-face guy, and I want to be in front of the agent. You always say in the action, you know, I like to be out in the action, but I want to be in front of the people that I work with. I want to see, you know, how are you reacting? Are you listening to me? Are you interested? Are you watching television? Or are you understanding what I'm saying? Or, you know, you might say yes on the phone, but you really don't understand. And so those are all things face to face that I can pick up on. But, you know, the sales to me is being consistent. That's always kind of been my goal too. Is to say, you know, showing up, like you said, being there, you know, as you know, what I call you, I guess we're wholesalers, retailers, but you know, anybody can send a quote out to an agent, but if you're the guy that's in front of them, then more than likely that business is going to come to you, and so that's kind of my goal. And I can't think over the years how many times I've walked into an agent's office who hadn't called me, but he'd go, man, I'm glad you're here. I had a case I need to talk to you about. Well, you know, if I hadn't been there that day, he may not have called me. But because I showed up and I was in front of him and I cared and I'm interested, then that business is going to, I'm winning that business. And I think that's important. I think you can't, you know, sales of any kind, whether it's insurance or any other kind of sales, it's still numbers. It goes back to insurance 101, is the more people you talk to and the more people you tell your story to, the more people that are going to meet with you, and then the more people that are going to be willing to buy what you're selling. And so if you're not seeing enough people, then you're not going to be successful.
What happens? So when you're doing that, and like you get going and you're going to say, you're there on a Tuesday morning, let's say, and you tell the person that you're meeting with, and no matter what sales you're doing, but more on the insurance side, you're going to tell them, I'll be there next Tuesday and the Tuesday after that. And they were like, well, okay, that's fine. You show up if you want, but we really don't need it. Right. But you continually show up and you're continually told no. Right. And that's frustrating, right? Sales is a roller coaster ride, and you hear no probably a lot more times than you hear yes. And depending on what type of product or service that you're selling, how do you overcome that, and how do you get yourself to show up? Because I believe there's that period of time when you're having some success, you're being active, you have the motivation, and then you've been slapped across the face so many different times that you're like, I really don't want to put myself through that. How do you overcome those challenges to keep showing up?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, in sales, you hear no more than you hear yes. And so if you're somebody that's sensitive about hearing the word no, it's not the right business for you. Because sometimes what happens if you show up, then the answer turns into a yes. And I was actually thinking about one of the biggest relationships that I have with an agency here in Greensboro. And for 8 years, I would drive past their building on the way home, and they were using another brokerage outfit for their insurance. And the guy that did their life insurance was not interested in talking to me. And I kept going by there, and I kept telling myself, I can't believe the biggest agency in my area is not working with me. And it bugged me. And I just kept going in there and going in there. And then guess what? One day that guy had resigned. And I was standing there the day they said, hey, he's no longer here. We need some help. And so persistency is what got that. And if I had been willing to say, you know, okay, they said no to me 8 years ago, I never would have had that business. But by continuing to show up and being there and being on the ground with them, and that's really developed into one of the best relationships I've had. But if you're, you know, you have to be willing to be stubborn. And I, you know, the other thing that happens too is sometimes by the end of the week, I've told my story to so many people that I'm tired of hearing myself think. But sometimes what happens is you say, I'm going to go see one more agent, and I'm just going to go and be stubborn and see one more agent. And many times that agent's got something for you, and it turns into a case. And so that constantly reminds me to just keep showing up.
The new age tools can lead to big business. However, you miss some critical aspects of communication with these tools. In this next part, Cynthia Kay discusses why sometimes you must stop typing and pick up the phone and call.
One of the things that I try to explain to people when I talk with them is that, yes, there are those tools that are wonderful that let us connect with people who are not near us and work with people. And we certainly have lots of systems. But you miss some critical aspects to the communication. You miss the inflection of the voice in email. You miss facial expression. You don't see body language, the intonation. So all of those things that give you clues as to what the person is actually thinking and feeling, and it can go awry very quickly. So as I often say to people, stop typing and pick up the phone and call.
As a salesperson, your time is valuable. In this segment, Mitch Long discusses how to go about managing your time and how you need to start thinking about time in sales.
People can waste your time. And so, you know, what I try to do is, you know, we have value, and what we do is very valuable. And so you want to be working with the people that consider that valuable. And at some point, if the client or the agent is not bought into what we're doing, then you have to say, you know, I'd love to help you, but you're not committed. And you don't say that to them, but you just have to say, you know, it's time for me to move on, because I've got other people waiting that want what I need and value what I do. And you know, you just have to do that. And it, you know, it's ironic. I mean, some of the biggest cases I've done, you know, the people are responsive and quick and wanting to get it done as fast as possible. And then you have other folks who it's the smallest case and the decision ought to be pretty easy. And it's they're agonizing over it. And at some point you've got to say, I'd love to help you. Let me know when you're ready, but I've got to move on. And you just have to manage your business that way, because if not, you can drive yourself crazy feeling like you worked all day and didn't get anything done.
Shane, Cynthia, Mitch, you all do incredible work in the area of sales, and we appreciate your insights. From your thoughts on passion, activity, communication, and time, we are all better off from listening to each of you. The perspectives from these thought leaders on sales are now perspectives you as the business leader can use for yourself. And for that, Shane, Cynthia, and Mitch, thank you. And for anyone looking for more thoughts on sales, please reach out to these gurus. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or contact me on Twitter and Instagram at Eric_Kaz. Thank you for listening to our KazSource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. This podcast exists in large part because of KazCM, the content marketing business inside KazSource, Inc. KazCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at KazSource to you. Learn more by visiting KazCM.com.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's a big deal to us. We hope you found value in it. And if you did, we would be incredibly grateful if you gave us a review on iTunes. Remember to subscribe to this podcast and feel free to share it with anyone you know. More than anything, thank you again for listening. We appreciate it.